This is an ABC podcast.
This is Nijan Footy with Sam Wykes and Chinirao Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Ma lo le le and welcome to Nijan Footy for the final time in 2023. Man, it's crazy that we've done a full year of shows, keeping you in the loop with all our rugby league and rugby union Pacifica talent. My name is Sam Wykes, and with me is the Cook Island co-host with the most, Tinarau Arona T.
With the most what?
With the most wins in Nijan knowledge, challenges.
Kia rana, Sammy, and kia rana to you listening. Oh, man, I can't believe we're here.
We're here, bro.
On the very last episode of Nijan Footy.
For the year.
Man. 2023. It's been a great time. One final time chatting all things Nijan footy. Some great memories and interviews and plenty of laughs we've had. Sammy, what sticks out to you?
Oh, I reckon it's got to be all my blow-ups for Nijan knowledge and my preparation for the questions. And it was probably warranted last week when we had Joseph Paulo on, and his line was, man, no wonder why T always wins, just because of my questions. But yeah, that's a highlight because I felt like that brought us closer together.
Yeah, nice. For me, it's been seeing our growth, you know, our relationship, our friendship, but also the growth behind the mic. You know, if you listen to our very first episode, I'm pretty sure you would have heard a fair few nerves, the tone of voice, a lot of ums, but seeing, you know, 36 episodes now, that growth I'm quite proud of, and proud of the friendship that we've been able to bond over this season. So,
and we can't forget all our amazing guests as well.
Like, oh, 100%. We're not a show without our guests. Yeah,
some of those stories, wowee.
And speaking of guests, we've got, to finish the year, we have got one of the funniest men in rugby league, Conrad Harrell. He's on his way to the UK, so we managed to get him yesterday for a quick chat just before he flies out. Conrad Harrell has played in 3 World Cups for the Matamatonga, a powerful centre who's played over 100 NRL games for the Warriors and the Titans, and now over 100 games in the Super League over in England for Leeds Rhinos, and now playing for St Helens. What a
you've done well to
what
get
a character.
What a get for our last episode. I can't wait for this interview.
Moment of the week.
Our moment of the week, T.
Yes.
I believe you've got something for me that one of our other, I guess, hosts, you've done the same challenge as her.
Yeah, so Shelley Long, who we have on our show for The Long Story Short, she kept talking about her preseason training and that big hill that they ran up.
What's it called again?
The Castle Hill.
Castle Hill. That's it, in North Queensland.
When the Cowboys NRLW team ran up, and Craig Bellamy, he runs past them. And then I've also seen on the socials that Cowboys, the men's team, has run up it on a hot day for preseason. So for work at the RLPA, we got to go to the Cowboys and visit them. And once you arrive at the stadium, you notice this big hill right next to the
facilities. Oh, so it's facilities. Right next to their facilities.
Yeah, it's walking distance. You can run there. It's just a huge mountain. It looks like Uluru, but it's tall on top of a mountain. And I thought, you know, I asked one of the boys, I go, is that Castle Hill? He said, yeah. So I asked my manager, and I said, what do you reckon? We'll give it a crack. He said, yeah, sweet. So we do the club visit, we do the presentation to the Cowboys men's. We finish at around 2 p.m. It's hot, probably I reckon 40 degrees.
Ooh.
We go outside, and then I was with another one of my work colleagues, someone great, Sia Soliola, and then I go to him, oi, we're going to go run up that hill. And he goes, nah, I thought we were joking. So we go back to the hotel.
He looks like he's in good shape, though.
Yeah, he's still in good shape. He's
just does weights, no running.
I think he's carried the habits from his career, his long career, over to retired life. But yeah, so we got dropped off to the hotel, quickly got changed, went to the hill, and then I was like, all right, let's go, give it a crack. So there's 2 routes. You can go up the road, or you can go up the goat track. They call it the goat track. So it's like stairs with a bit of gravel on the way up, but very steep. So they say it's shorter but harder. The road is longer, still hard, especially in that heat. So the boys wanted to take the goat track. And by the time we got up there, we were saturated. Not by any water, because we didn't take any water.
It ain't water, baby.
Just from
sweat.
It
ain't water, baby.
There's this one route around, as you get around the corner, around the bend, and then there's just this flight of stairs that you can't see the end of. And as we're going up, you know, we had to take a couple breaks. But the view at the top, oh, wow. You know, Townsville is such a beautiful place, and you get to see everything up there. So it was worth the trek. I was quite proud that I got to complete the Castle Hill, the famous Castle Hill that Shelley Long has been mentioning on our show. And, one day I might race Craig Bellamy up there.
He'll probably win at 70. Hey, before we move on, what's harder, Wanda Beach? For those who don't know where Wanda Beach is, it's where the famous sand dunes, where a lot of, like, in Cronulla.
In Cronulla, yeah.
All the rugby league teams go there to train. In Sydney, what's harder, Wanda Beach or Castle Hill?
Ooh, I'm going to say Castle Hill because of the heat.
Wow, that's because a big call. Heat,
yes. Well, usually with Wanda, you go there. We've been going early in the morning.
In the morning, yeah.
We go 6 a.m. No, we're the only dumb men that go to Castle Hill.
40 degrees.
And decide to run up it at 2 p.m. in the middle of the heat. The heat wave that they had up there. So, yeah, I'm going to go Castle Hill.
Kia ora, my name is Kiana Takairangi, and you are listening to Nation Footy.
So, Sammy, off-season, leading into Christmas. All the boys are, you know, getting flogged in pre-season. So, I thought we'd cover three topics. Big news that's happening over the NRL.
What have you got for me?
I'll start off with Mate Matonga star, Manly Sea Eagles, Hamole Ola Kawatu.
Oh, Christmas has come early for him, hasn't
it? Oh, mate, what an extension, what a deal. So, Hamole has signed a six-year extension on top of his current 2 years, which will see him stay at the Sea Eagles to the end of 2023. And
end of what?
2033, sorry.
Oh, yeah, okay, sweet.
The end of, yeah.
Eight years into finishing in about 2 weeks.
Who wrote these notes? 2023. And the deal is reported to be worth $1 million a season. $1 million.
That's a lot of buakas and a lot of pigs.
That's a huge deal.
A lot of otai.
When I see that, it's like, it makes me proud that the boys are getting paid that kind of money. You know, and I know I probably missed the boat with the amount of money that was flying around. So
you missed the boat or?
Or was it good enough to get those deals?
I was going to say, I was more the bottom feeder as well. But no, he has earned the right, though, for those type of dollars. What a powerhouse he has been on the left edge? Right edge.
I only remember because of that huge shot he put on Justin Olam. The only guy that you don't see get whacked like that.
Yep.
And Hamole put the biggest shot. It was that was unreal that this year. So second news, Aiden Fanua-Blake. So he's requested a release from his Warriors deal to return to Sydney on compassionate grounds. He's agreed to play for the Warriors next season, so in the 2024 season. But it's reported the Warriors have granted the release, but only to a Sydney-based club. West Tigers have been the first to formally offer him a deal, a four-year deal worth another $1 million a year.
I swear the Tigers are offering everyone a deal. But does anyone want to go there at the moment, T? Good question. What's your mail on this? I don't know. I just always hear the Tigers and the Dragons, when anyone's coming off contract, they're going to those two teams, but
yeah, I think they're going through a transition period. You know, they got a young squad there. I think they got the wooden spoon last year and maybe the year before.
Yep.
So they're just trying to find some answers. And Adden, if it's Adden. You know, if it's Jerome Luai, it's Jerome Luai.
It's a tough question, but only he will know the answer to that.
And then my last bit of news, probably the biggest of all three, and leading into rugby union, we have ex-Wallaby star.
Yeah,
current Wallaby star.
Current NX.
Fijian Mark Nawanga Nitewase has signed a two-year deal to the Sydney Roosters. Yes, my club. What a power move by Uncle Nick. And Sammy is here filthy. But what
Marky
a signing.
Mark. Marky Mark. I out of all people, wouldn't have thought this was going to happen. Not that, not from a talent point of view. I just thought they would have thrown the kitchen sink at him after his performance this year, especially. He's one of the very, very few standouts who, in a team that was on the back foot a fair few times, he was going forward, finishing nicely. But good on him. Honestly, I wish him all the best. Hopefully he kills it over there. I really want him to do well. I played with Marky in my last year at the Waratahs. So he's a shy kid. Oh, sorry. Not shy, but he doesn't say too much. Asks a lot of questions. He's got a hell of a rig on him too. He is solid.
Oh, that will look good down at Bondi.
He looked good in the tricolours, you reckon?
He did quote, though, "I'm not doing this code change in any way to have a crack at rugby. It was more about the opportunity for him going to the Roosters at his age." He mentioned, you know, not many rugby union players will get this opportunity. And to go to a club like Sydney Roosters, where they've made a couple big signings as well. Dom Young from Newcastle Knights and also Spencer Lenu, Tor Samoa and Penrith Panther, back-to-back-to-back legend now. So
it's a good signing, to be honest. For him personally, he has 2 years there, learns what he needs to in league. If he's not enjoying it, mate, he's got oceans of options back in union. So I actually take my hat off to him because, as you said, not many – I know a couple of All Blacks have had that same opportunity during his career, same with some Wallabies, but they've all said no because they probably thought the leap was too big, I'm comfortable in my environment, but he's taken the leap of faith to have a red-hot crack.
And watch this, him signing there now, he's going to lead on a few more rugby union stars over to our great game. Who do you reckon does more harm to the game? Joseph Suoliti leaving rugby league or Mark Nawinga Natewase?
Say that last name again. Mark Nawanga.
Nawanga Natewase. Sorry, apologies. I know you're quarter Fijian, that's why.
Yep.
Who does more damage? Joseph leaving league or Mark leaving rugby union?
See, the thing is, Joseph Suoliti leaves rugby league, and then you still have those guys you just mentioned, Adam Fanua, Blake Ha'amole. Who else is there?
Jerome
Luai. You just have all those guys to
Nathan
feel that.
Nathan Cleary, other Samoan.
So, yeah, he is. The Samoans keep claiming him. But, yeah, so he leaves and it's a big loss, but at the same time it's not. There's so many superstars in that game. Whereas
in rugby league, yes.
In rugby league.
Yeah.
So he's going to come over and be the most well-known player in Australia because he's come from rugby league, but still he's a winger. He's going to be a fullback. He's not in the middle where it counts, like around 5'8", halfback or a number eight, which is really important to be the pin-up boy, like a Dan Carter, Johnny Wilkinson, Richie Mo'unga.
Israel Folau, though?
Israel Folau, because he played fullback. He was a fullback.
And he had ball on his hands,
exactly,
in his hands heaps during the games.
And he came over a bit later as well. So for Markey to go over, it's probably going to hurt Union more because we don't like – they were pinning their hopes on someone like Mark and Joseph Suoliti playing in the same team.
Yeah. But I think the risk also for the rugby union taking Joseph, if he does well, it makes, one, Joseph's already a star, but puts him even higher on the pedestal, and then brings rugby union to life.
Well, hopefully he can have that influence and that change. But as I said, him being out on the wing, or probably most likely a wing to start with,
He has come from a rugby union background.
Individually, I know, but I'm talking about hopefully...
Like, can he go play fullback?
He will at some stage. But I'm talking about the team and the way the Wallabies or the Waratahs are going to play. Hopefully the team performance allows him to finish, because even with when we had Lottie Takiri...
Oh, so what you're saying, you need more than just Joseph to join the Wallabies. Yeah, got you.
Whereas, Mark going over there, he's on the end of a unreal back line anyway in a forward pack, where he's going to finish well, whereas I don't know if Joseph Suoliti is going to be able to finish as well as he did in rugby league, because does our style of play at the moment, does our confidence in with the Australian rugby, are they at a point where they can beat the All Blacks consistently with that one player? But only time will tell.
It's Nijan Footy with Sam Wykes and Tinira Arona.
Well, plenty of rugby league news there. Signings, disappointment from rugby union. So we nearly covered a little bit of rugby union there.
that's probably the rugby union news.
It is. I'll shorten my one up, I think. But over the weekend, we had the Cape Town Sevens. The women's Australia beat France in the final 29-26. They were up 22-0, and France came back to nearly level that. Two tournament wins in a row for Australia. Fiji lost to France in the quarters, so they're fourth on the overall table. But yeah, the Aussie women are on fire at the moment. In the men's, the Aussie men's made the final despite losing to NZ in the pool. Samoa beat New Zealand, which was a great victory in that game in the pool stage.
Samoa.
Yeah, they did really well in the pool stages to beat NZ. And you know what? Ireland also beat New Zealand for the very first time.
In sevens.
In sevens history, Ireland beat New Zealand. So I'm not sure what's happening with the NZ team, but I do enjoy seeing them on the other side of the score sheet. Which
I bet you do.
That's just hating. But, you know, Fiji were looking great, but lost in the semis to Australia. They claim bronze and third overall in the standings. Final was Australia versus Argentina, and the Argies ran away with a big 45-12 win. That's a big score in sevens. Man, 45-12 in Cape Town. What a beautiful part of the world in South Africa. Unreal, unreal. Best sushi going around over there. Ate it all the time. But and then the next circuit will be in Perth in late January, where I guess all the teams will be going over to WA to compete in the seven circuits over there to kick off the rugby year in the new year. But T, this is a big one.
What we got?
You know, I've got a massive soft spot for young up-and-coming talent.
Yeah, oh yeah, I've seen it. I've seen it.
And pathways and opportunities for them to be seen and be playing quality games. So we had the Pacific Youth Cup last week or the week before when we mentioned it. So from that under-16s age group, they chose a Pacific All-Stars team that are going to play a test match against Australia under-16s tomorrow. So the Australian Schoolboys under-16s, first of its kind ever, and it's against the Pacific All-Star team. Coaching staff, Mark Gerard, former Wallaby, Tongan Australian. Kampisi Maafu, who we had on the show, he's the scrum coach, former Flying Fijian, also Tongan as well. Then we've got Fotu Alua, former Brumby, played in Toulon with Sonny Bill, big number eight. Dave Dennis, former Wallaby. So
what a lineup, man.
So Dave Dennis is married to Monia Gerard, which is Mark Gerard's sister. So there's a connection piece there for Tonga with him.
Any more?
No, that's it. Those four there.
Oh, no, Sam Wykes for the lineup. Line out coaching or scrum coaching?
Just put it together. I'm like the glue. I just put it all together.
Like the guy behind curtain. The scenes. And puts everything together.
Uncle Sam.
Uncle Nick vibes.
So, yeah, I have some audio here of Coach Fotu, one of the ex-Brumbies players, number eight. Big number eight. I hated playing against him. So he brings that hard edge to the boys. And we had our training session the first week, so a couple of weeks ago, brand new. The boys got their kit. It was at the new facility. So they were all fizzing like a Coke can. You know, they were buzzing. And then because it was on the Saturday just gone, 42 degrees, I think the boys sort of fell into a bit of like a mindset where it's like, oh, it's too hot, a little bit of complaining going around. The standards weren't as high. And he's brought him in and given him a nice little spray and a reminder about, you know, what's coming up and what's required of them.
Shouldn't have to take that little session for us to actually wake up. Does that make sense? Okay, because we should understand this circle here is special alone because you guys have been selected. True? Yep. You guys all know each other. Everyone in this group knows each other over the last 4 or 5 years, whether you played in league or union. So there's a connection there. Yep. So don't think that this squad wasn't picked carefully. Everyone that's in this circle, okay, I believe has what it takes to win on Tuesday. But our mindset coming into training is not of a f***ing winning attitude. Yep. But you guys have been in Gen Blue. You guys are part of the Panthers. You guys are part of West. I've seen the stuff that you guys do there, and it's great. I love it. Why can't we see it when you guys come here? When it should be the easiest and it should be the best. Because you want to be here. Imagine if this was a season team. You'd love it, eh? Huh? Would love it. So make the most of it. Make sure that it counts when it matters, boys. So when Dennis talking, when Campo's talking, when I'm talking, there's respect there. Yep. All good?
Yep. Wow. Mate, that's giving me Denzel Washington vibes.
Yes.
Remember the Titans?
Titans, exactly.
Now, that's a clean, direct message. What was the response from that?
Training was hissing after that because he's right. Like that coaching stuff when he talked about they were selected carefully, even though that got chosen from the tournament and all those boys played in that tournament, they held a couple of sessions throughout the year. They went and watched them. All of them played league and union. And, mate, there's some names in that team. I guarantee in 2 years' time, they're going to be the next big thing. There's a guy named Heinz Lamoto that's in there. Like, look out for that name. He's Tongan. He's from out Sydney's West. He's a back row. He is a massive human, and I think he's going to go well. But, like, he's playing in this game. So he's directing it, all the Panthers boys that are in there, all the West Tigers boys, and Gem Blue is the New South Wales Waratahs Academy.
Yeah.
So those boys in there. So you guys do all that there. But what, when we come here and we organise the Pacific All-Stars, you think this is just a piss take? Really, really ripped into them. And from there, you just saw the boys flick the switch and they were on.
Oh, that's good, man. I like that chat.
Nisan Bulawinaka, my name is Kempisi Maafu. You're listening to Nisan Footy Podcast. Hope you enjoy.
All right, Sammy, we're going the biggest. We're back.
We're back with the biggest.
With rugby union and rugby league almost entirely on off-season, we've got the new segment to spice things up and get our footy fix. The biggest, what are we going this week? The biggest preseason? Or the biggest training session?
Training session, I think so. One of those ones where the biggest moment in your mind is like, what am I
first thing
doing
that comes
here?
To mind is just, I've actually got a couple, but I'll let you go first.
First thing that comes to mind straight away is SAS camps. The army camps. By far, the worst thing I ever looked forward to. And in Perth, in Western Australia, so the way strategically the special air services, the special forces aligned on the west and east coast for tactical reasons. So there is a camp in Western Australia and one here in Sydney as well on the east. So that's they're looking after the perimeter of Australia, right? So we did a massive 3-day SAS camp where they were sleep deprived, where we got woken up by flash grenades.
Oh,
heavy
no sleep.
Yep.
Those are the worst.
Heavy metal music. Everything.
Like torture.
Torture, like that type of stuff. And then like even, one of my worst fears is being claustrophobic. And so, I had to...
In the wet tunnels.
Oh, the wet tunnel. Thinking about it
now.
You
feel the pain. Especially the size of you, bro. How big is this tunnel?
Bro, it was so... You had to roll under, like say there was like a little ledge. You had to roll under like as if it was like even shorter than a table. And then you were like pretty much army crawling through the tunnel. You couldn't even see the back of your hand. It was that dark in there.
Oh, no. Could you see the light at the end?
No. The thing was, a guy goes, don't worry about the light at the end of the tunnel. It will always be there. You just need to keep moving.
Just find a way to
just
get through.
Just find a way to get through. And I was just like, I felt sick. And then, the funny thing about this story as well, the sergeant there, I stood at the thing. I was like, I can't get in there. He's like, you're getting in there. And then so the night before, he was asking all the boys how much they benched. And then he goes, mate, what do you bench? And I was like, oh, yeah, I got a record out. I got 150 on the bench. He goes, oh, yeah, that's cool. Other boys went around. And that same soldier was standing at the entrance. And he goes, mate, you told me you could bench 150 and you're scared of the dark. And then rolled under, got through my fear. But, yeah, that's there. Yeah.
Oh, those SAS are torture. Camps. It reminds me of those Melbourne ones that everyone keeps hearing about, those SAS camps.
Yeah, yuck.
My one, so I'll quickly run through two. So first one is whenever you have to do the fitness test, those ones during preseason where you come in straight off the back of a 6-week holiday.
Oh, like a yo-yo.
And you have to go do a yo-yo test or Bronco test or 4 and 5. The 4 and 5s were the hardest ones.
What's
so you
four
have
and
to
five?
Run 4 laps in 5 minutes, or you just run 4 laps, but your aim is to get it in 5 minutes. But it's just a mental game. They were always tough because it was hot. You had to.
You're coming off 6 weeks.
I'm a young one trying to make the team, trying to impress the coach. So you're trying to keep up with the fitter guys. You're trying to, and this is depending on how you've treated your off season. Usually I look after myself, but you see
but
a lot of the boys.
But there's training age as well. There's like those veterans have that training age in them. As you said, when you're a young buck, trying to keep up.
You don't have that, the muscle memory.
The muscle memory, yeah.
Or those, them habits that all the veterans have. So that was definitely one, was the fitness test. The second one was in England, where it would snow, and we'd turn up to training, and there's this layer of snow on the 4G pitch. So we used to train not on the grass pitches, it was like the AstroTurf.
Yep.
And then there'll be a layer of snow on top, and we'll just be in our cars going, what the hell are we doing? And we've got our trainers on the field shoveling or brooming the snow off the, not off the field, off the lines, so we could see the 10-meter lines. We still had to run on the snow. And instead of playing the ball, we don't roll it and then roll it on the ground. We just had to put it through our legs and like hold the ball up so it didn't hit the ground. But them two fitness tests, and when you turn up to preseason training and there's snow on the grass.
What's worse, training in the heat or training in the freezing cold? What did you find?
Oh, so the freezing cold, you could wear layers of clothes, and as you get through training, you start stripping off as you get warmer. Whereas the hot, you can't get cooler other than pour water on your head, but 2 seconds later, you're still hot. So I'm going to say it was harder training in the hot.
Unfortunately, we don't have Shelley Long for our last episode, but we want to give her a huge shout out. Much love to Shelley, because we've loved and learnt so much about the women's game because of her and her insights. So we can't wait to probably have her back again at some point. But yeah, we just want to give mad love to Shelley Long.
Yeah, this is her show as much as it is ours. So thank you very much, Shelley. I've enjoyed every long story short segment. And yeah, this is your show as much as ours. So thanks, Shelley. We do have Conrad Harrell up in a little bit. But first, let's do our challenge of the week.
Challenge of the week.
Yes, our challenge of the week. It's been a lot of fun. Over 36 weeks of challenging each other to so many different things. And I thought this week, let's just take a look back at our challenges. And
favorite ones?
Pick out our favorite
one. Yeah. What do you got?
Well, I'm going to go, again, just like my Nisha knowledge, the preparation for my challenges, besides the magic trick one.
That's why you're singing at the end of the show.
Yes, exactly right. Was when I tried to do my video, video diary.
At the Solomon Islands. Where you were meant to do a diary and you didn't do it. And that was a good challenge by you, actually.
Yeah, and then I got caught trying to, make it up. Let's have a
let's
listen.
Let's run it back.
Let's run it back.
Show's name again?
Amnesian Footy.
Amnesian Footy.
Yeah.
And I love listening to Sam.
Yeah. So I'm him from
the Solomon Islands.
From Solomon Islands.
Yeah. I love listening to
Amnesian Footy.
Amnesian Footy.
Especially
listening to Sam.
Yeah, okay, ready to go.
Oh, shout out to our bus driver. He was the man. What a good sport.
That was funny. My favorite one was, it would have to be when you started bringing up the food challenges, and you brought in, you challenged me to bring you food.
Yes.
So I was like, yes, sweet, I'm going to start challenging you. And then it just became a time where we could have a quick meal.
Exactly.
So we've had otai.
Otai.
We've had oka, your mother.
Oka.
So the raw fish with the full thickened cream.
Thickened cream.
I brought you the donut with the Vegemite.
Vegemite, something different.
Actually, this morning on that Pacific Sports Show, I brought some donuts in for the team, and I was planning on bringing you one with Vegemite, but unfortunately, the whole team ate them all.
But I'm going to one-up you here, T. I know we didn't have a proper challenge, and we've said that one because it's
food. And you haven't prepared well for these challenges.
No, I actually prepared in advance.
So you're trying to make up.
Listen, relax. Do you want your surprise?
Santa Sam
has come early this year. If you notice in that brown paper bag behind you, T, I've actually packed you some nice lul.
Ooh.
You know, we've got,
explain to me, what's lul?
Lul is the meat. So this one's going to be lul sipi and lul bulumasima. Lul sipi is the lamb in the coconut and in the leaves, cooked in the foil. And it's got a bit of manioque there. So it's like cassava, I think it's called in English.
Oh, wow. So I'm not going to eat it here on the show today.
Just have a little nibble.
I will.
Just have a little nibble.
Open it.
Have a little nibble.
Because it's in the foil.
It's in the foil. I prepared that for you.
I have the cassava here. That's actually still warm.
Yeah. Oi, and we heard We heard Kempisi Ma'afu, that's his fresh ID. That was him who dropped it off for us. His family make the best luo sipi, luo pulumasima. They also do good otai, but I had to give it to someone else down at the floor, one of the bosses, to keep them happy.
I'm actually quite impressed that you managed to get these up here for us.
Yes. I've got one for producer Declan as well.
One for our great producer. For the man. The magic man behind the scenes. Man.
So, Merry Christmas.
Oh, thanks, brother.
From me to you.
You've made up for all the challenges, your bad ones.
So, do I still have to sing the anthem?
Yes, okay. Yes, yes.
This is Nijan Footy.
All right, Sammy, to finish the year, we're going out with a bang. We have a good friend of mine. I've mentioned his name a few times here on Nijan Footy, but he's played over 100 games in the NRL for both the New Zealand Warriors and the Gold Coast Titans. Also over 100 games in the Super League for Leeds Rhinos and the St. Helens Saints. And he is also a Mate Matonga legend. One of the funniest men in rugby league. I have the one and only Connie Litsy, Conrad Harrell. Connie, thank you for joining us here on Nijan Footy.
My little boys, thanks for having me, man. Good to jump on board with you guys. Keen for this. Finish with a bang.
All right, so why are you in Australia and not in the UK right now, mate?
It's a good question. I just come back to see the family. Or see my partner's family still. She's based here in Gold Coast, so we come by and just to see them. We were in Tonga 2 weeks ago. Went there to see my family and take the little one to meet everyone there. So it was a good little holiday, but heading back today. So I won't say much about that.
Heading back to go back to the cold. I've seen a few of the videos from the boys. The snow, it's snowing over in the UK. So make sure you pack some jackets. Let's go right to the start. Where were you born? Tell us a bit about your upbringing.
Yeah, I was born in Nogalofa Tofua, the hospital in Tongatapu. I'm the baby of the family. We've got six of us. I've got four boys and two girls. And I grew up in a big family. Family in Tonga is, I don't know why we make big families. We don't have that much money. We still have kids, but I think that's why it's the best thing in Tonga is having the big family, because we always surround by each other. Every day our home is always loud. So if the home is quiet, there's something's going on at home. So I think that's what I miss the most, is just being around everyone. And like you said before, I'm always a little shit, and I think I get it from my mom. My mom's always loud. My mom runs my dad, runs everything in the house as well. But grew up in a big family. Obviously not much. We didn't have much back home, but always had food in the table. I've said this before. I felt like I was rich when I grew up. Because we always have food, we always have clothes, we always go to good school and stuff like that. But looking back now, we pretty much have nothing, but it's just the hard work of mum and dad and get us a long way. Going back to playing rugby back home, I didn't wear boots till I was probably 16 years old. I think the kids now back home in Tonga are quite lucky that they get to afford boots and running shoes and stuff like that. And the ball, sometimes we used to use jandals or plastic bottles or stuff like that. But it's just good to see how a bit better in Tonga now. And like I said before, it's quite lucky to see the kids nowadays playing shoes and boots and even a rugby ball too. So, yeah.
Bro, what was it like when you put on boots for the very first time to play footy? What did that feel like? 16 years is a long time to not wear footy boots.
I still remember that. I used to wear the boots in high school, and then probably after the first 5-10 minutes, probably half of the team always, like, everyone just throw it back out and then we'll finish the game with their feet. But even to now, I can't wear new boots. Even the boys in the UK, they always laugh at me because they throw out their boots and I'm the one collecting their old boots and then wearing it. So I think just because of my feet, it's like my hands, it's just flat, as long as wide. So yeah, I can't really fit into.
I've seen your feet in that. Yeah, you're right. You do have some big flat feet and some long toenails too. Can you tell us about the journey, how you went from Tonga over to New Zealand to play rugby?
I was the baby, and I've always wanted to be whatever my older brothers were doing. I wanted to be like them. Both of them made the under 18, the secondary school in Tonga, and my oldest brother was lucky enough to get to travel to South Africa and Australia with the Tongan secondary school. For that, seeing him going flying on the plane, wearing the same gears as everyone, I kind of wanted to be like him. And yeah, and I was I went to the same school with one of my brother, and the rest went to a different school. So I went to Tonga High, and the rest of the fams went to Liahona. When I went into high school, my first year of playing rugby, and I did athletics, I did pretty much all the sports in high school, and I kind of knew at that time that I was quite good at doing and just being outside and playing footy or doing sports and stuff like that. So yeah, I was so into it, but my brother that I went to school with, he used to hate me being around him, because I always, he'll go in with clean gel in his hair. I just rock up. I was just so different from him. And he was always good in school, and I was not so good in school. But I think that's one thing I regret. I wish I could put the effort that I did in footy and put it back to high school. But I kind of like just put my head down that I'll find a way to make a career out of any sport that I was doing. So I play rugby all in high school, play the village. I think I was 16 when I started playing against men in Tonga. And that's quite tough at the time. I was quite big, and I felt like I was good enough to try to play. But in the first couple of games, I was like, it's not for me. This playing the village boys. But fast forward it. Beginning of the year 2009, there's a school from Auckland came over to my school, and they wanted two forwards. So our school said, oh, there's a prop, and I was playing outside backs, but I was quite good. They're just like, oh, he can play in the forwards as well. And then they came in, we did all the passport thing. I think it was like 2 weeks before we're meant to fly out. So I was already saying goodbye to the school, saying goodbye to my friends, and already got my passport and visa. 2 weeks before we're meant to fly out, they said they only need one guy, and they picked the prop. This is in the beginning of 2009. I think I was a bit gutted. I was a bit shameful as well, because I already saying goodbye to my family, saying goodbye to all my friends in school, saying I'm not coming back to school, doing all this stuff. And then when they said that, I was a bit gutted. I didn't want to go back to school. I remember telling my mom and dad, I'm not going back to school, because I'm embarrassed, because I thought I was already be going to New Zealand to play rugby. And I was quite lucky that I think 4 weeks later, Auckland Grammar School was in Tonga just watching someone else. They were watching another guy, and then that game I was playing against the guy, but I didn't know there was any more scouts in there. But I think the other kid that they wanted to pick knew that they were there, so I think it got to him, and that game I pretty much, yeah, probably played my best game in Tonga in that game and thrashed him. I was playing against him. I scored about 3 tries in that game against the guy. And then they just literally changed their mind. They said, oh, we're going to go with me. And this was on a Friday. We played on a Friday. And then they got to my house on a Saturday, and they said, hey, talking to my parents, saying that your son's got a passport, visa, and all this stuff, because we need to fly ASAP. And then my family was like, oh, lucky enough, he's already done his my passport, got my visa and everything. And they're like, oh, can he fly out on Wednesday? Just the next week. Because the school was already started in NZ. This was around March. So my parents were like, oh, yeah, he's ready to go. And in my head, I was like, thank God for that. I didn't want to go back to school. I didn't want to continue going to school. Because in Tonga, when you find out stuff like that, you get mocked hard. So, so at the start of the year, I was getting mocked. I was like, stuff this. But yeah, that's how I got to go to Auckland.
Man, that's a hell of a story, like of events, you know, like how it, the disappointment, and then everything happens for a reason. Someone was obviously praying over you for your journey. The school teachers, were they Tongan when they came in to, you know, have that conversation, or were they Balangi, and was someone
Balangi, yeah.
So what was the conversations like? Like, was someone translating?
My mom is pretty much like me, freshie. But my dad went to school in NZ for a couple of years. So luckily, my dad was good in English. So he was fluent. He was doing all the speaking. And it's quite funny because when I moved to NZ, my dad has to come with me for 3 months. So we're walking around in school, and my dad was doing all the talking and stuff, and I'm just in the back just.
So your dad was a translator for you in school?
Pretty much, yeah. Because I could understand it, but it's just trying to. I couldn't like hold a conversation and stuff like that. I can still speak it, but yeah, it was Tonglish. It was half Tongan, half English in one sentence. I think that's one thing we need to change in Tonga is when people try to learn to speak English, and when it's broken, you get laughed at. So I think people just. They do it.
No, mate. Knowing two languages, being bilingual, I think it's one of the best skills to learn. So whether it's broken or not, if you can communicate in two different countries, like you're ahead of the game.
But moving on, so you end up, went on and played over 100 NRL games. But I want to touch on Tonga because I know how much Tonga means to you. And you got to represent the Matema Tonga, got to wear the red and white jersey. Tell us what that experience was like, and when that first time you got to represent your family and your nation.
Yeah, so obviously I was in Grimma for 2 years, playing rugby union. Didn't work out with the rugby union. I had no visa. I was meant to fly back. So school finishing in October, November, and my visa finished in March 2011. So I had nothing, no contract. I was in my head. I was like a bit stressed because went over to NZ to find something there for me to live, to stay there and play for a team there or something, but it didn't work out. So this was around September. The first 15 coach again, we just rock up to the Warriors, ask the development coach, here's a kid who's never played league. Any chance of him playing for the, or can come and trial for the under-20s? And it was Ricky Henry at that time, the development coach. He just said, no promises, just come. Why not just come in and train with the young boys? And that's when I went in, and that's when Tui Lolo here, David Fushitua, Sio Taukea, and them was coming up to development. So I went and trained with them, and I was 19 then, and they were only like 16 or 15. And I still remember them carving me up at training. And I was like, there's no chance I'll be playing. So we did a trial for the under-20s in Cornwall Park. I think there was more than 200 people. And I think that's when I got picked to play for the under-20s. And finally got a contract. I got $5,000 a year. I was buzzing about it, telling the family that I finally made it. Get all the gears, get to meet all the big dogs like Manu and them. So fast forward after the... Our first year, we beat the Cowboys, Christian Wolfe's team, in the grand final, and we won back-to-back. Or Sean Johnson then won it the year before us, and then we won in the 20s, and then finally got another 1 year contract with the NRL and played 2000, and I debuted 2012. And it was just the best thing ever to finally make it as a kid, and I get to help out my family back home in Tonga. And then 2013, that's when I got the talk coming to play for Tonga for the World Cup in 2013 here in England, over in England. And I think when I got that call, I was there was no 50-50. I was like, oh yes, I'm in, I'm 100% in. And I think we had a really good team then as well, and I was excited to be playing alongside Fui, Sikambanu, even Brian Kite was coming in to play for us. There was a few other players they get to play against that I always want to play with. So their first year, 2013, first game was against Scotland. We lost that game, but the whole build up to that World Cup, it was massive because we had, like I said, we had a good team. That's when Jason, Siliva and them were already coming and play for us. And we all went to Tonga. This is before the World Cup. And I think for the boys to see where we grew up, me, Fui, Kuma and them, most of them haven't been to Tonga, but for them to come over and see how we grew up and like the poverty in Tonga back then was huge. But what the people still come in and treat us like kings. This was even before the World Cup. Doing all the parade and feeding us and giving us everything they want. And probably after that, probably 2 months after that, they probably just eating noodles or just bread for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. But yeah, getting to represent my country and my family, putting the jersey on for the first time, it was crazy because, like I said, just the journey that I've come through and debuted was 2012, straight into playing for Tonga in 2013. Still up to now, I keep telling people, 10 years, I played 10 years for Tonga, and I feel like it went in like probably 2 months. That's how much I loved it, and that's how much I just love being around the boys and trying to help them build the culture that us Islanders have. What we do for our little nation is it's different for the club footy that they come from, and Rebs putting on their jersey for the first time and getting to run behind Fuya and them was one of the best feeling and still one of the best highlights I have in my career. So debuting for the Warriors, I thought that nothing would ever beat that. And then coming in 2013 and debuting for Tonga, I was like, it was crazy. I just wish it was like maybe in Australia and New Zealand so Fabian would have been there, but it was best feeling. We lost though, but we're still good.
So you have, I know you mentioned that moment running out behind Fuya and putting on the red jersey for the very first time being the highlight, but do you have anything else that stands out to you, like even off-field or on-field memory, a moment when you're representing Tonga where you go, wow, this is the best ever?
Yeah, I think the off-field thing is, I think it's just the parades. We had a couple in Tonga, and I think nothing will ever beat that. And then we played in Auckland. Holy, yeah. I think that's one thing. It's not playing, it's us. It was the crowd, the Tongan fans. I think that will be in everyone's highlights forever. It's just how crazy it was. Like, even when we're losing, it was still so loud, singing all the hymns and stuff. And I think that will ever stuck. That will be with me forever. So my mom and dad, they hate tattoos. Like, they hate it. Like, it's nothing they hate the most is, but they just, but three of my brothers all tatted up. So I don't know what's, and I've seen them go to hiding. So I was the youngest one. Yeah. All three of them got to hiding. And yeah, for the first time they got caught having tattoos. Oh, it was so funny. My mom gave all three of them a hiding. So I was like, I'm not doing it. Yeah. I'm not tattooing myself ever. And then we beat Australia. I was like, yeah. I was over in England then, so I didn't do it in Australia or Tonga. I was still close to mum. I had to FaceTime my mum and told her, oh, I've got a tattoo. Yeah, it's the score and the day of us beating Australia. That was my first ever tattoo. And it's up high in my thigh, so I never wanted to tell my mum, but my sister saw it, and she's like, you better tell mum before I tell her. So, yeah, so I had to show her. But then she's like, oh, lucky that's more.
that tattoo is placed on his thigh, so when he wears his footy shorts, you can just see a little bit of it. I find it funny every time I see it. last question for me before Sammy wraps it up. Your biggest challenge that you've found throughout your career, from your journey from Tonga all the way to now, playing in the NRL, playing in Super League, what's one of the biggest challenges that you've had to overcome?
I think... If we ask probably 90% of people that knows me, they all will answer the same thing. I think for me, it's the biggest challenge is food. I was lucky enough to be around good people. Every team I go play for, they're always good for me. They're always good to me, and like with a lot of mental stuff, they always help me throughout it. But yeah, my biggest challenge, I think it's still up to now, is food, man. Like I just don't know why I'm so in love with food. I wish I could know this a bit earlier just to try balance it out. Mm-hmm. But apart from everything I love, yeah, my journey, I'll never take anything for granted. So I will tell this to people, just leave it, because like, it's going to come and go. You think you'll be there for years and years. But yeah, like I said, I played for Tom for 10 years. I'm finished up now, this year. So it just comes and goes. So just make the most of it. So yeah.
From me, I've been... dying to ask this question. I'm a massive Dinah Jane fan. You know, in that, yeah. What was it like sort of meeting her and letting like her singing the anthem for Tonga in that game? And how many marriage proposals did she have from all the boys?
I think there was a few was married and with girlfriends and still proposed, but luckily she said no. Nah, she was. I think a lot of the boys said this. The best thing about her, she was so chill. She wasn't like, she was already big, like she was bigger than everyone or like in the sport, but how chill she was hanging out with the boys, and the people was around her. She was just, yeah, we all are normal people, but she was so chill, man. She was so friendly. She could talk to anyone. She was meeting anyone. She was meeting everyone and the boys. And I think that's why all the boys enjoyed her company as well, because she was just so chill. She was a chill girl. Even though she was that big, she was so down to earth. And I think that's one thing our island culture have is just being so humble. And she wasn't acting, trying to be humble. She was just her. And I think that's the one thing that the boys took out. And she's a lovely person, even though she was a massive superstar. She was cool.
Oh, man. No, definitely. Thank you for sharing that journey. And I love hearing the passion about, you know, that Tongan passion that you have. And, yeah, thank you for having us here on our last show of the year on Nijan Footy. Thank you very much.
Right up.
Nijan Knowledge.
Oh, Sammy. Nijan Knowledge has been one of my favorite segments here on our show. And our final score is, I'm at 15.5, you're at 9.5. And yes, we're playing this whole year for one of us, the loser, to sing their national anthem. First of all, I just want to say how thank you for the easy questions, because you were unprepared. And
thank you for your carry-on, and thank you for your boasting and your real poor sportsmanship over the 36 weeks.
I can't lose. I don't like losing. And this is one.
Except when you play for Wakefield.
Sorry to my Wakefield fans.
Me throwing stones, but anyway.
I did not want to lose this one, because I'm going to enjoy listening to you, Sammy Wykes, sing your national anthem. Does the Tongan national anthem have a name?
The Tongan national anthem. Yeah, that's all it comes up as.
Oh, well, we'll just, you obviously don't know the name, so we'll just see.
Is that
we'll
a point see, lost
we'll just
again?
See if you know the words, and I've got my phone here ready.
Why are you
to
recording?
Record. Let's go.
Oh, can we have some audio? Ooh.
E o tua mafi mafi ko mau eiki ko e ko e fala a anga mo e o fakitonga. I'll feel here for a maulo to I oko mau fani mo ketali o maloto o malu I atupo. Well done, Sammy. You've been practicing, eh? I reckon you started practicing that.
First week.
The first week when you realised, I'm not winning this. Yeah. Well done, mate. I am actually quite proud of you for
Man, please, to all my Tongan listeners out there, don't at me. Just,
I can't wait to see your cousins.
I tried.
I tried. Start hitting you up. Is that the end, Sammy?
Oh, is that the end? Are we at the end of our show already?
Mate.
Oh, it is our time up for 2023.
You're going to miss me, eh?
I am, mate. I'm going to FaceTime you. We've got to go through it all, because we're going to do it all again next year on ABC Radio Australia. Bigger and better, and maybe, hopefully, smarter. But remember, you can listen anytime to previous episodes or chats with some of our favourite Pacifica athletes wherever you get your podcasts. Ofa lahi atu.
Ka kite.
This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.